Welcome to today's episodes of Conversations. Hello. I am Lisa, and if you heard that voice, that is my husband, John.
And that's right.
Loves to interrupt me.
I do, because we're talking about interruptions today.
Yeah, we are.
So that gives me a license to interrupt, right?
You already had that license, I'm pretty sure. Anyway, I hope you guys have been enjoying some of the episodes. We have discussed actually some topics we had never had any idea we were going to address with this whole COVID-19.
Yeah.
And just a reminder, John, so you behave well, we are filming this podcast. So if you're driving in your car, you don't know that, but later on, if you want to see what John is wearing, you can watch us on YouTube pages, John Bevere or Lisa Bevere. And Conversations is actually part of a much larger network. We have a family of different podcasts called the Messenger Network. Yep. It includes the Messenger Podcast. Sons and Daughters has a show called Let's Talk About It. And we will be adding more shows. So you wanna just kind of stay in the loop. But today we are discussing how to properly respond to the inevitable interruptions of life. And I'm gonna be like putting you on the spot. So
you
let's talk about this.
Well, we practice this all the time on our podcast, as I've already said. But no, interruptions, if we expect our life to be void of interruptions, we set ourselves up for a big, big, frustrating life. Mm. And if you look at, I mean...
Does that mean I can burst into your office whenever I want now?
Because
you usually say when the door is shut...
That's right.
I can't.
Don't interrupt me. That's
yeah.
right.
Did
when
I just
your
get...
door is shut, I'm not supposed to interrupt
but
you.
But you do. You
do.
Yeah, you just
you're
open
so
it.
Cute. I can't
it's because my door is clear.
But no, all Lisa, right. If you look at the life of Jesus, there were constant interruptions going on. I mean, Mary says, they're out of wine. He's like, hey, wait a minute. It's not my time. He had to address that interruption to his timing. If you look at Jesus, he is getting out of a boat after just dealing with the demoniac across, and he is on his way to minister because the ruler, Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, said, my daughter is really, really sick, and he's on his way to minister to her, and this woman crawls through the crowd, grabs his garment, and he feels virtue come out of him,
yep.
power come out of him.
Yep.
The disciples... And he looks around and said, who touched me? And the disciples go, everybody's pressing against
you. Are
you
kidding me?
Yeah.
Everybody's touching you.
And
yes.
he said, somebody has touched the hem of my, or touched me and done it in faith and drawn power out of me.
Wow.
If you look at Jesus, he has his face, and this is the one that's crazy amazing. He has his face set like flint to go to Jerusalem because he knows he has an appointment there. Mm-hmm. That's where the will of the Father is going to be accomplished. He actually is walking ahead of his disciples. They're afraid, walking far behind, because he keeps telling them, I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to be
betrayed.
They're
kind of thinking it's a bad idea.
Yeah.
You're right.
So he's actually walking ahead. There's a crowd around him, but he's got his face set like flint to go to Jerusalem. And there's this guy named Bartimaeus, who's blind, who starts screaming out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. The people, the crowd are like, hey, this guy's on a mission. And you need to be quiet.
Yep.
And he keeps screaming all the louder, the Bible says.
He said the more they tried to make him quiet, the louder blind Bartimaeus got.
So blind Bartimaeus in the Gospels is the king of interruptions. And I love what the Bible says, Jesus stopped.
I know. That's one of my favorite. Jesus stopped.
So his face is set like flint to go to Jerusalem.
Yep.
He is on a path there.
Yep.
And he stops. I love this.
Yeah.
And then the people are like, he's calling for you.
Right.
And blind Bartimaeus comes, and Jesus has to address the fact that I've got to stop, and I'm going to minister this man. And Lisa, you know me. I'm a very structured person. I love to have my whole schedule laid out before the day begins. But I have learned that can be very detrimental. So you have to have a schedule, but you can't say, I'm not going to interrupt it. I'm not going to allow interruptions to come because there are divine appointments. Every one of those that I just named, I believe they were divine appointments, mm-hmm. and Jesus was ready for it.
Yeah.
And I believe that if we go into our days and we say, I've got my schedule set and nothing's going to change it, you're going to have a frustrating life, because I think sometimes God arranges for interruptions.
Well, I mean, hello, the COVID-19 is an interruption.
It is.
That is an interruption of our normal.
Correct.
It is a timeout. Everything, we're going to all stop everything that you've known, and we're going to put you in a season of pause. So God can actually interrupt our lives with a, you're going to sit down a moment and you're going to listen to me.
We had 2 months of meetings, both you and I, mm-hmm. scheduled, conferences, churches, and yet every one of them's canceled. And yet we have been as busy now the last 2 months as we have been all last year. There's no time period I can remember last year that I was as busy as I am right now. And I'm having to actually force myself to say, okay, today's the day off. I need to rest today. But we, our team, I'm so proud of them, they adapted. And that's the key word to an interruption, is you have to adapt. You have to innovate. You have to create. Mm-hmm. And that's what we've had to do in these last 2 months.
Yeah. So if somebody is saying, I feel like my life has been interrupted and I don't feel like it's divine, I feel like it is timeout, punishment, what would you say to them? Like, how do we make the most of life's interruptions?
Well, I also believe that we have to discern, is this interruption coming from the enemy? Because remember, Paul made the statement, I tried to come to you a couple times, but Satan hindered us. So you have to discern, is this a divine interruption, or is this the enemy trying to keep you from getting something accomplished? Both are very valid, and there's no formula to it. And I wish we could give a formula. You know, to me, it's an amazing thing. We always say we want a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, but yet when it becomes personal to where we have to depend on hearing from him, we don't like that, because we're saying, I want a formula. So there are times that you're going to realize this is the enemy trying to keep me from getting done what I know is supposed to be done. I mean, a classic example of that was the storm. Jesus said to the disciples, go to the other side. He was completely exhausted from an entire day of ministry. They were so busy, they didn't even have time to eat. He gets into that boat, and what comes? A storm to kill them. That was not sent by God. That was sent by the enemy. The enemy was saying, I want to thwart this mission that he's on, because he was on his mission to go over and reach that demoniac. If you look at Moses being born, Satan is trying to kill all the firstborn children. Same thing happened when Jesus was born.
All the baby boys.
All the firstborn boys, yes.
All the boys, not just the firstborns.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Sorry.
I needed to be interrupted on that one.
Yes.
But no, he's trying to interrupt the divine mission of
right.
sending Moses, the divine mission mm-hmm. of sending Jesus. So that's a satanic interruption. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there are so many examples of interruptions in the scripture, but you've got to be able to discern. So the ones I'd really like to talk about right now are the ones like what we're going through. We had this interruption that almost brought us into like this desert or wilderness.
Yeah.
And if you,
and we don't really even know what's on the other side of this, because
no.
we're still in that in-between time right now as we're recording.
Right.
Yeah.
I would say the thing we know for sure is any promise that God's made us. And that, if you look at Joseph, like, he has these dreams, you're going to be a tremendous leader, even your brothers will be under your leadership, and now he's thrown into a pit, that's an interruption. Now he's sold as a slave for 10 years, that's a long interruption. And then he's thrown in the dungeon for over two years, that's a pretty massive interruption. But the Bible makes this statement, Lisa, that Joseph remembered the dreams that God gave him. And I know when we hear the word remembered, it's kind of like, oh yeah, I just remembered I was supposed to do that. That word remembered in the Hebrew means he kept it before him the entire time.
Mm.
So what we need to be doing, who Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, we need to keep the promises. I love what the psalmist says. It says that they laid Joseph's feet in fetters. They hurt his feet with fetters. They laid him in irons until the time that his personal promise from God came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. So there was a personal promise made by God to Joseph. You're going to be in leadership. And there's a lot of people listening to us. God has made him promises. And it looks like COVID-19, either with their business, with their education, with their ministry, it seems like it has destroyed it, thwarted it, severely set it back. Nothing's been set back. This didn't surprise God. So what you have to do, the only thing we know post-COVID-19 are the promises that God's made to us.
So, you know, what I was thinking of as you were talking is, I remember as a little girl going to see the movie Gone with the Wind, and it was such a long movie that they had an intermission. And I remember being upset that there was an intermission, because the intermission felt like an interruption. I want to see the rest of the story.
I felt the same way in the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, and then you and I also have had the chance, I can't remember what it was, but we went to a play and they had an intermission.
It was the Nutcracker.
It was the and I was like, what? No, I don't want an intermission. But here's what happened during those intermission. It's behind the scenes. God was, or let me just put it this way, they were getting all the stages set behind the scenes right now. I don't know what it's going to look like on the other side, but God is setting a stage in your life. He
That's
is
really good.
Putting the people that need to be in place. He is moving around the pieces.
Wow, that's good.
And he's going to roll back the curtain, and we all are going to see that he has been working in this time period when we have had forced rest, where we have had isolation, where we have had questions, where we have had conflict, where we have seen people crying out. You know, God has heard their cries. God has seen the people that have struggled, that don't know how they're going to provide for their family, people that don't know what their health is going to look like, people that have been isolated and insulated from what it looks like the faithfulness of God. They're going to come out on the other side, and they're going to see that God was faithful, that he is provider, that he is Lord, and that he makes ways where there seems to be no ways, that he does roads where there looks like there's no way to navigate it. In the rivers and in the deserts of our lives, God navigates something that he can navigate.
He said, I'll make a river in the desert.
Yeah.
He said, I'll build a roadways, a highway in the desert. He said, I will cause your desert to become a fruitful field.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, you just really captured me on that statement about the Nutcracker and about Gone with the Wind. And because the Nutcracker was the most recent, and it was an actual, what do you call it,
Intermission, yeah.
But, Lisa, I can close my eyes, and I can still see, when that curtain opened up, everything was changed.
Yeah, all
everything.
The scenes have changed.
We had been sitting there for 50 minutes watching this wonderful thing unfold in a living room of a house, but when that thing opened up, it was a wonderland, and I see God doing this for his faithful.
Yeah. Do you guys hear that? I want you to know
wow,
that we didn't plan this, but God is closing some curtains on things in your life, and you think it's over, and he's saying, no, I'm beginning a new thing. So as frightening and as unsure and unexpected as this interruption was, I want you to find a surety that God is in control. He's placing pieces. He's removing things. He's putting things to the front. He's doing stuff backstage. He is changing the scenery, but he is still God, and his promises will remain.
So I look at Job, and Job thinks, my life is completely over. And Job allowed the hardship he was suffering, because all of us are going through hardship in one form or another right now. But he thought the hardship, he allowed it to overwhelm him to the point where he now became warped in his theology of God. And this
Which is interesting, because when I actually thought Job was right, like when you read the book of Job and his comforters, I'm like, yeah, these guys are smart. Maybe Job did mess up. And then when God shows up,
well, like, Elihu, the young preacher,
was the only one.
I mean, that is some of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible is Job 32 through 38, and that's when Elihu comes in. I mean, I have more colored on those pages in my Bible than anywhere else in Job. And Elihu, what's interesting is Elihu came in and said, you know, I've been waiting. You guys are wise. You're older than me. I should be listening to your wisdom. But everything you said is all based, you've allowed your experience to shape your view of God instead right. of allowing his promises and what he has said eternally that can never change mm-hmm. to shape your view. So Elihu brings the correction, but God doesn't come until Elihu brings the correction. And I almost feel like right now it is so hard for some of us that are we going to allow our whole view and the way we look at the promises that God has made to us, are we going to change them based off of the experiences we're going through? Or are we going to believe that God is faithful? And that's what I love about Joseph. He kept that dream in front of him, mm-hmm. even in the midst of that dungeon when he was left there to rot and die. He said, okay, God is faithful. He's going to bring it to pass. And so I just think it's so important that we keep this before us in this season, Lisa.
Now that you brought up Job, and I may misquote it, or I may have a different version of the Bible, but he comes to a point where he realizes that he has spoken according to his own understanding. And then all of a sudden, he realizes who God really is, and he says, I'm just going to put my hand over my mouth. And
he said, I've heard you with the hearing of the ear, yep. and now my eye has seen, and I utterly abhor myself.
Yeah, and he said, so I'm just going to be quiet. And I think sometimes in this time, we need to stop repeating what we're hearing from the counselors who don't know God, who don't know who God really is, have no vision of who he is, have no understanding.
Yeah, that's good.
And yet we definitely need the awareness of what's going on, a sensitivity to how to protect ourselves, protect other people. But the end of the day, God is the one who will have the final word, and he is the restorer, not the government, not the media, nobody else. We have to come to this place where we say, God, I'm not going to echo what I hear from people. I'm going to declare your promises onto the other side. I'm not going to live in denial. I'm not going to say we're not in a hard season. I'm going to declare the goodness of God on the other side of the season, that hope you said set before them.
Because I love what James says. He said, you see the end intended by the Lord. Mm. The end was that he was going to doubly bless Job. God was not the one that authored what Job went through.
No, Satan was, right?
Satan was. Just as God didn't author the storm that tried to kill Jesus and his disciples.
Just as God did not author COVID-19.
Right. He didn't author
right.
it. And the disciples' view is, we're going to die. And they're professional fishermen. They've been on that sea many times, and they know when they're going down. And they said, we're going down. They based now the future of their life off of their experience. Mm-hmm. Whereas Jesus got up, commanded that storm to stop, and then turned around and said, you guys have no faith. In other words, you don't believe what I said. Because faith is simply believing that what he says he's going to do, he's going to do. Jesus said, go to the other side. He didn't say, go halfway and sink. And so Job should have realized and should have kept before him, as Joseph did. Because to be very honest with you, I look at all these circumstances that people went through in the Bible, in the Old Testament. To me, the two that went through the hardest times were Joseph and Job. I look at David, at least he's got 600 guys around him. He's at least getting to live free in caves and deserts. You know, you can think about them all, Moses on the backside of the desert. But these two guys, to me, I mean, when you're put in a Middle Eastern dungeon, the ceilings are about 4 feet tall, and they laid him in chains, and they give what's called the bread of affliction, which is just enough bread to eat to keep you alive because you just tried to
suffer.
Yeah, you just tried to rape. You, a foreign slave, tried to rape an officer of the king's wife.
Well, they think he did.
Right. You have tried. That's what I said. They think that. Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that is, to me, unbearable circumstances when you really stop and think about it. And what Job went through, the boils and losing his wife, his children. I mean,
he didn't lose his wife. He lost all of his kids.
I need an editor today.
I love my husband.
No, but
keeping
I want to make
you
sure
on.
It's right. I want
keeping
to make sure it's right.
Relational theology.
But here's one guy that keeps the promise of mm-hmm. God before him. Mm-hmm. Here's the other guy that allows the experience to mm-hmm. warp the promise of mm-hmm. God. Mm-hmm. But yet, because Job repented, God mm-hmm. still blessed him. And I'm going to say this. You may be complaining right now. You may have been murmuring, and you may have been basing all of your tomorrow and what you're going through off of your experience and your hardship. Right now, you've got a chance, just like Job, to go, oh my, get in the Word of God, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you and say, oh my goodness, I have lost sight of the promises that He has made to me personally.
Yeah.
And it's time to hold on to those promises.
John, one of the most powerful, one of my signature memories from this book is from the book of Job. Can you share with them about what Job actually came up with after so much going through things? Because I think sometimes we think that God is not doing something because we can't perceive it. So what did Job say? Because I can paraphrase it, but you know it's not going to be good.
I could paraphrase it, but you know, I'm not finding it really quick. Well, I know it's in the first two chapters, so I'll paraphrase it.
Yeah, he says he goes forward.
He said, look, I go forward and I cannot behold God.
Yep.
I go backward and I cannot perceive him.
Yeah. So but wait, let's just pause. Yeah. So looking forward, you're like, I can't figure out what God's doing. Looking back over what 5 or 7 weeks that we've been through, I also don't see the hand of God.
Yep.
But what does he say?
Then he says, but when he works on my left hand, I cannot perceive him.
Yeah.
So in other words, God was working.
Yes.
So let's look forward, backward. Left hand means he's right there.
Yeah. While you're not working, that doesn't mean God's not working.
That's so good.
Yeah.
But God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So it's times when we don't perceive him. It's when he's actually probably doing the greatest work in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
90% of what I preach came out of times when I've been in a wilderness. And when I launched this book, Lisa, I think it was about 14 months ago. And I really believe that this book was launched for this time.
And I want to just read the title, God, Where Are You? Okay, I think a lot of people are asking, God, where are you? God, what are you doing? And then the subtitle is Finding Strength and Purpose in Your Wilderness. This is a wilderness season. It is not the rejection of God. John always says it's the preparation of God. So I want to talk about how they can actually get a hold of that book, because we're doing something really special right now.
Yeah, it's causing my hand to become a little...
Yeah, so what we've done, some of you know that we did this with Strong, but we don't want to see anybody not get their hands on this book because of cost. So what we're doing now is for your gift of any amount, you can get this book, God, Where Are You?
And I'll sign it.
And John's signing it. His signature is way neater than mine. If you've got a Strong copy and you're like, I don't know if that's worth it, his signature is better.
Last Friday, I signed 1,500 books.
Yeah, you did.
And my respect went through the roof because I know you did 2,000. So I couldn't even imagine 500
in
more.
One sitting, I did do 2,000. So you can get a hold of this at messengerinternational.com/GWAY. And GWAY stands for God, Where Are You? Okay, so that's what we're doing, G-Way.
And, okay, so let me say this. If you forget the /G-Way, you can just go to messengerinternational.org.
Sorry, it's we're making it hard.
It's on the front page of our website, so
absolutely.
They can just go there.
And you know what, John? I want to have you pray for the people that are finding themselves here right now. And they are in a season of intermission. And I want you to just believe that the Spirit of God is going to give them that same image of that curtain coming open on the other side. So could you pray for them? And then we're going to close.
You know, life's all about vision. I mean, Abraham was so depressed when God said, I'm your reward. And God said, I need to give this guy a vision. He showed him innumerable amount of stars, innumerable amount of sand, and said, that's the way it's going to be with your descendants. God always will do this if you'll let him do it. But you'll never get anything from God. You'll never get a personal promise unless you quiet your spirit. Some of you are so troubled, you're so anxious, you're so concerned about what tomorrow is going to bring, that you don't have the peace, and that peace is where God speaks. And so right now, I want you to do this. I want you to do what the Bible says, and that is give all your anxieties and your cares to God, which means that if they try to come back, you say, it's not mine anymore, I gave it to God, so if this happens, it's not my fault because I gave it to God. That's almost the attitude God wants you to take. He wants you to so commit your worries, your anxieties, your fears to him that you will laugh when they come up, because you'll go, it's not my worry anymore because I gave it to him. It's his problem, not my problem. He loves that. Okay, so that's
casting. And then he'll give you strategies.
He'll give you.
When you're outside of the worry.
That's what happens. So that creates a peace, the Bible says, that passes all understanding, that will actually guard you like a garrison of soldiers. And it's in that place of peace that God speaks and gives promises. So right now, what many of you need is you need the peace so that he can give you the personal promise. And that's what we want to pray right now. And I'm actually going to ask that Lisa would pray with you because I want to lead you in this. The Bible doesn't say that I can give your cares to God. The Bible says that you have to give your cares to God. Okay, so I can't pray this for you, but you can. So I'm going to lead you in that prayer, all right? Say this with me. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
Forgive me.
Forgive me.
For worrying.
For worrying.
For being afraid.
For being afraid.
For being discouraged.
For being discouraged.
You have commanded me.
You have commanded me.
To trust you.
To trust you.
And so I'm going to do that now.
So I'm going to do that now.
I take. Every bit of the care.
Every bit of the care.
Of my life.
Of my life.
Of my family.
Of my family.
Of my job.
Of my job.
Of anything else that is a concern.
And anything else that is a concern.
And I give it to you.
And I give it to you.
Completely and totally.
Completely and totally.
It's not my care anymore.
It's not my care.
It's not my concern.
It's not my concern.
It's now in your hands.
It's now in your hands.
That means that if anything goes wrong.
If anything goes wrong.
It's no longer my fault.
It's no longer my fault.
Because I gave it to you.
Because I gave it to you.
And I know.
And I know.
That you're faithful.
That you are faithful.
And you'll take care of these situations.
And you'll take care of these situations.
And I thank you now.
And I thank you now.
For the peace.
For the peace.
That passes understanding.
That passes understanding.
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
But it's on me right now.
But it's on me right now.
I thank you so much for that.
Thank you so much for that.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Show me.
Show me.
Things to come.
Things to come.
Make promises to me.
Make promises to me.
That I've not been able to hear.
That I've not been able to hear.
Because I've been too busy.
Because I was too busy.
Being worried.
Being worried.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Lisa, I right here on the set, the peace of God just hit.
Yeah.
That's, I know that happened.
This is that beautiful wonder that here we are in a podcast and the Bible gives us this promise. If two or more are gathered in your name, you know, right now there's people in their car, there's people at home, there's three of us. And God is saying, I'm there in your midst. I'm there. I love that we actually help people understand the word of God where it says you can cast all your cares on me. Why? Is that being irresponsible? Is that being in denial that we have cares? No. It says you can cast your cares on God because he cares for you.
And I want to make sure all of our friends have the scripture reference because you're going to be going, where is it? It's Philippians, the 4th chapter, the 7th and 8th verse. I particularly like the Amplified Bible, but they're all great.
Mm-hmm. So I want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we love it when you subscribe. So please subscribe. We don't want you to miss anything. Right now, you can have access to, in addition to the G-Way, we got things happening. You can have access to our complete library of courses by just going on our website, and this is messengerpodcast.com/allaccess. So we're giving you two things, and you can go in there and you can have complete access when you choose what monthly contribution works for you in this season. So we're super excited about that. We also love it when you give us comments and questions on iTunes. We want to hear how we can minister and serve you better. And actually, we love it when you rate the show. It just gives us feedback. And until next time, this has been your Italian G-Daddy and your Sicilian G-Mommy saying thank you for joining us for Conversations.
Thanks for listening to Conversations with John and Lisa. Let us know your thoughts by leaving a review. And be sure to subscribe and share these episodes through iTunes. You can also connect with John and Lisa through Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Until next time.